Alright, so for the fourth subgura, we're going to continue on in Sif Beis and Siman Tov Reish Lamed Tes. And we're going to turn our sights on Shena in the Sukkah. The last time, we had the privilege of Rabbi Arsh covering for our Chabura, and Rabbi Arsh talked all about the minimum shear of Achilas Keva, or whatever, the shear of Achilas Arai, in the Sukkah. And Shena really seems a lot less interesting, right? There was a lot to say. But over here, it seems quite simple. Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch's language itself, right? The Shulchan Aruch says that Ochel Meshosim Yishenim is Sukkah Kol Shiva Bein B'Yom Bein Laila. Ve'ein Yishenim Chutz LeSukkah Afilu Shein Aserai. Right? You're not allowed to sleep outside of the Sukkah, even for just a Shein Aserai, even for a small sleep. Unlike Achila, where we know Achila Aserai is allowed to be done outside the Sukkah, as he continues to say. But it sounds pretty simple. No sleeping whatsoever outside of the Sukkah, right? There's no the Shenas Kev, obviously, that would have been the same thing as Achila. But in a certain sense, Shena is more machmir you have to be more machmir about Shena than by Achila, because you can't even do a Shenas Arai outside the Sukkah. Now, this also, again, seems pretty open and shut from the Gemara. He's quoting from the Gemara in Sukkah, Chavav and Aleph, we've all learned together. So, Tanar Rabbanan, Ochlin Achilas Arai Chutz LeSukkah. Ve'ein Shenam Shenas Arai Chutz LeSukkah. So, even though you're allowed to eat Achilas Arai outside the Sukkah, you cannot sleep a Shenas Arai outside the Sukkah. So now, although this seems simple, it's deceptively so, right? The Gemara actually goes on and brings a machlokas. If you look at the maskanos of the Gemara, right? There's a machlokas as to what the reason is that we are not allowed to sleep achilas shenas arai outside of the sukkah. So my time, the Gemara had asked, right? So Amar Rav Ashi says, gzeir Hashem yiradin. It's a dirabanan din. We're afraid that you might end up sleeping longer, meaning to say, of course there's two categories. There's achilas, there's shenas arai, and there's shenas keva. And that's true. It's no different than, you know, Achila. However, there's a fear here. You know, Achila you can control. You hope you can control, right? If we're doshim to you, we can control our eating. So if you see, you just will only eat the minimum amount and you won't do it in the kevetic way and all will be fine. But by Shena, there's a fear that you might go and extend your sleep longer. And thus, midrabanan, they say you're not allowed to sleep that small amount, that Shena's arai. The Gemara questions this off of Tefillin and ultimately defends why this is different. By Tefillin, there seem to be two different things. There's Shenas Arai and there's Shenas Keva, yet by Sukkah there's not. And the Gemara basically says that by Tefillin, the reason why there are two different things is if you're sleeping in a really weird way where you don't have to worry about that concern, then indeed Shenas Arai is permitted in Tefillin. And then perhaps you would wonder, can I extrapolate them to Sukkah as well? According to Rav Ashi, let's say I sleep in a really weird way. Right, I sleep in a way where I won't end up going and sleeping, so perhaps that Gzeira D'Rabbanan won't apply. Or maybe you could argue, maybe by Sukkah they still made a Gzeira D'Rabbanan, but at most, Shenas Arai, according to Rav Ashi, is only going to be Aser Midrabbanan. Rava, seemingly, has a different explanation to explain the Brisa. Perhaps because Rav Ashi was problematic. And Rava says, Ein Keva L'Shena. Rava says, no, there's no such thing as Keva L'Shena. We'll pause for a second to go back for a moment. And then we'll come and return to Rava. So, there's a historical issue here, right, which some of the Rishonim were sensitive to, and Gilyon on the side points out that Rav Ashi came after Rava and Abaya. So it's weird for Rav Ashi to make a statement, Abaya to challenge it, the Gemara to defend it, and then we bring Rava in at the end of the day. It's weird to have Rav Ashi there. And that historical point is significant. It makes you question whether or not this is really Rav Ashi, the one that we're familiar with. The footnote suggests, and there's basis for this, that there's another Rav Ashi, right? That this was an earlier Rav Ashi, one that Abaya would have responded to, and then that would make sense then with the flow that Abaya is responding to him, and then Rava comes and gives the maskana. But otherwise, you wonder if this is really Rav Ashi, like the Rav Ashi, the Basrai Rav Ashi, Sofo Ravina Rav Ashi, right? Then Rav Ashi, then who should we paskin like here? Who do you think we should paskin like? Rav Ashi, you would think. At which point, maybe, even though the Gemara brings Rava last, you could say the Gemara seen it as Maskana, but if it really was Rav Ashi, there might be reason to think that we should paskin like Rav Ashi. At which point, this Shena Sarai is only Asur Midrabanan outside of the Sukkah. And, moreover, perhaps you can even avoid that Asur Midrabanan, as long as you sleep in a really weird way. You're sleeping, you know, with your head between your knees. I don't think it means literally you're curled in a ball, though there might be room to say that it means, like, literally you're curled into a ball. There's some reason that imply that way, like, we know that when you put your hand between your knees, it might mean that you, like, really curl into, like, the fetal position. But, pashup shot, that your head's between your knees, like, you know, you're dozing off, you're bobbing, right? Your head is bobbing, you're leaning over your knees, and like, That's not actually going to sleep. You're just leaning forward. At which point, that might be mutter outside of the sukkah, according to Ravashi. That would be a big chiddush. That's certainly not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch or the classic poskim over here. So, presumably, Pashup Shad that we pass like Rava. Okay, so now what did Rava mean? Well, off the Yerushalmi, which is what Rashi's alluding to, and really all the Rishonim seem to go this way, there's an understanding that what Ein Keva L'Shena means is that since sometimes a little bit of sleep can give you enough energy, can rejuvenate you have a power nap, it rejuvenates you in a way comparable to a lot of sleep. So you could have a 15-minute power nap, 10-minute power nap, whatever it is, and that can really rejuvenate you in the same way as if you had slept for 5 hours, 10 hours, whatever it was. And that can really give you that same boost of energy. If so, that means that there's no such thing as this distinction between categories. There's no such thing as Shinas Arai any longer. Everything is Keva, since everything has within it the potential to make it actually give you back enough energy, just like Keva would. At which point, it sounds like Keva is not something in quantity about how long it is, although perhaps it still is, and that would be the distinction, but more about the quality, that it's able to infuse within you a certain rejuvenation. It's not really about how long it is as much as whether or not it does that. And since even a tiny amount, quantitatively, even a small amount, is able to sometimes do that, the way that simply comes out from these Rishonim is that it automatically counts as Keva. Why? It didn't rejuvenate me. Let's say I went to sleep. I slept for 2 minutes. Right? Let's say 10 minutes. Be safe. Right? 10 minutes. And let's pretend that was a rye. I don't want to get into the numbers yet, so I'm just going to say a small amount, but we'll know that the numbers are a lot of dafka up into this point. Okay? So I slept for 10 minutes. And it was a rye. So now, did it rejuvenate me? Well, ask me when I wake up. I wake up, I'm like, oh, gosh, I need another one of these power naps. You know, I want to go back down to sleep. It didn't rejuvenate me at all. At which point, why was that usher outside of the sukkah, let's say? It wasn't actually Keva. It didn't restore me. But it seems to be that, no, Rav is saying, even though it didn't restore you, since it could have restored you, something which implicitly within it contains a potential, right, the Chassam Sofer understands it, call it Royal Bila in Bila Ma'akev, I suppose, something like this. That since it's implicit within it, it's as if it actually occurs. It could have occurred, and therefore it has the potential within it. It's as if it's implicitly being done. So perhaps you could take the same idea here. That since I could have gained sleep from this sleep, but maybe I didn't, but I could have, that's enough to count as Keva automatically and make me doing something wrong outside of the sukkah. According to this, it would be Daraisa, right? According to Rava, if we pass it like Rava, it would be Daraisa, right? Because it's saying that there's no such thing as Achila as Shenas Keva. Shenas Arai. You thought there was a thing as Shenas Arai? Well, there's not. Okay, well, how would Rava explain that Braisa by Tefillin, right? The Tefillin clearly distinguished between Arai and Keva, sleep. So Rava would say that one's about a quantity. There, it's about sleeping for a longer amount of time. Right? The issue over there is that maybe you'll have Hesach Hadas, maybe you Shema Yafia, right? It'll flatulate. Maybe he'll see Keri, according to one Rashi, right? So maybe there's a different issue there. But those would be about the longer you do it, the more dangerous it becomes. That's more likely to occur. So, of course, there still is this quantitative distinction between how long versus how short. Right? Reva would agree to that, and that's true by Tefillin, but by Sukkah, there's a separate issue. Now, once it gained the name of Keva, and since it could technically rejuvenate you on a qualitative level, so that's also an issue now for Sukkah to do that outside of your Sukkah. If you're having that potential for it, so then that counts as if you did it, and then you did something Keva outside of the Sukkah, that undermines the Diras Keva, and on a direct level, you've done an Isser, or whatever, you've been about to lase. So that's a big deal. Presumably, Pascal and Grava, it's the conclusions of Daraisa Din, and saying that no matter what you do, any amount of sleep should seemingly be a problem. There's no such thing as Shein Asarai, and that sounds like what the Shulchan Aruch, and the Rambam doesn't argue, right? That sounds, classically, what all the Rishonim and Poskim then say. However, that also might not be so simple. There's a strange Tashbit. Everybody's in a tizzy about. It's weird, right? The Tashbit's from Dole, Chachme, Sfard, and end of the era of the Rishonim. He was one of the greatest Rabbanim in North Africa. His grandson, the Rashbis, was also very famous, very important leader amongst that community. And really, they were the final word in that whole region. So the Tashbit says something weird. The Tashbit says, in Tshuva, he mentions it Agav, but it's an important line. He says that it's actually Shenas Arai is only Aser Midrabanan. The Tashbit says Shenas Arai is only Aser Midrabanan because of a Zera that Shema Yimashi, that maybe he's going to go and he'll sleep longer. Which is strange. So on one hand, it might just be that the Tashbit is poskening like the first opinion in our Gemara, Rav Ashi, which you already noted is weird because it sounds like he's probably an earlier Ravashi, and like the Gemara's conclusion sounds like it's like Rava, because you bring him last. But maybe he thought that, no, it's Ravashi the Acharon, and for whatever reason the Gemara brought him first, and then it responded to him with Abaya, but maybe it was just that somebody earlier than Ravashi had said it, but Ravashi, you know, significantly, conclusively said Allah, and that was reason to Paskalik it. Not sure. There might be reason to say that the Tashmi said just Paskalik or Ravashi, at which point he's saying stir up on him. However, I thought that perhaps, and this is my chiddush now, so this is our halacha l'maisa, this is a chiddush. Okay, so you don't have to actually take this, but it's a suggestion to explain this to Tashmites. Maybe there's another way to read Rava. The Tashmites doesn't quote Ravashi. But maybe there's another way to read Rava, despite the way that many of the Rishonim seemingly understand it. Then you could say that perhaps Rava was not coming to give a different explanation of our Brisa, which said, which had said that you're not allowed to do Shenas Arai outside of the Sukkah. He was agreeing with that first Ravashi, that first opinion, pshat, that is a gzera, shema yirade. However, he was coming to give a different defense of this brisa about tefillin. That's what he was coming to do. He was coming to deflect that brisa, which was problematic, which Abai had brought. Right? He's coming to explain this. How so? How would you explain him? How would Rava says, ein kevel ashena? So what would that mean? I would think, perhaps the following is true. You could understand the idea of Ein Kevel Hashena, still like the Yerushalmi, that sometimes a small amount of sleep can rejuvenate you. Okay, sometimes a small amount of sleep can rejuvenate you. But what does that mean? Let's say I sleep for a little bit and it doesn't rejuvenate me. Did I sleep Shena's Keva or not? So up until now we've been saying, apparently, even though it didn't rejuvenate you, since it could have rejuvenated you, that counts as if it was Keva anyhow, which is weird. Like, it wasn't Keva in any way. It wasn't Keva quantitatively. It wasn't Keva qualitatively. So in what sense was it Keva? Since implicit within it was the potential to be Keva, that makes it Keva. It's a little bit weird. Right? Like, since implicit within all of us, we could be like Moshe Rabbeinu, so we're all like Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not a healthy lifestyle. Right? Don't go believing that. So, we have to believe that we can, but we have to do stuff. Okay, so now, what else could Rava really mean? What else could be Pshat? And this is my chiddush, it's a suggestion. And maybe this is where the Tashmit is coming from. Rava was explaining the Gzeira Shema Yirade. Rava was saying that since sometimes a small amount of sleep can become a deep sleep and give you that powerful feeling of rejuvenation, we were gozer on that small amount of sleep in the context of Sukkah, not by tefillin, because by tefillin we don't care about the quality. Who cares whether or not you feel rejuvenated or not? The point is, are you maybe going to be Shema Yafiach? Maybe he'll see Keri. Maybe he'll have Hesach Hadas, which is over a longer span of time. But if you say that what really Pshat is that he's explaining why tefillin is not an issue and Sukkah is because by Sukkah they made Gzeira D'Rabbanan because maybe it will rejuvenate you. Not to say that if you sleep for a little bit, and it doesn't rejuvenate you, that's called Shenas Keva. No, it just meant that since we're afraid that it might rejuvenate you, and thus it will count as the quality of Keva, which would be an issue out of the Sukkah, we tell you you can't even sleep a little bit. So I thought that might be, in my opinion, a very nice pshat to explain that Tashmites then, because the Tashmites wouldn't be saying like Rava, and Rava would be reading a different pshat than Gemara, and he would still be in line with the Yerushalmi. Yes, Yosef, what's pshat?
Is that true, then? Shouldn't that also apply to Tefillin?
No, I don't think so. It would depend how you understand why Tefillin is an issue. If you think Tefillin is about rejuvenating you, I think then it's pshat that it doesn't apply. If you think that what I'm saying, as I am saying, is that it's Keva in this context by Sukkah is because it might rejuvenate you, so who cares if it rejuvenates you by tefillin? By tefillin, it sounds like it's only about the quantity, how long it is. Because maybe you'll pass gas. Right? So if you will, so that depends if you have longer time. That was pre-tefillin, wasn't that? Let me check out the Gemara. Yes. Right. No, so exactly. Yeah, Shemir Yeradim, right. Rava would be explaining that and saying the whole fear is that maybe he'll have a deep sleep, but not necessarily in the length, but in the quality of a deep sleep, that he'll be rejuvenated. You understand? Okay, everybody get the potential pshat, and that would save this weird Tashmish, which everybody's wondering about. But it would also mean a huge halach lamaisa for us. It would mean, then, that even Rava isn't Daraisa. You hear what I'm saying? It would mean that when we read this line in Shulchan Aruch, he's saying that Daraisa or Darabana. And that's always big nafwina. But if he's saying that the achila, that the Shinas Arai outside the Sukkah is a Daraisa or a Darabana, what's the nature of that issur? According to this Tashmites and the way I'm presenting it now, this alternative arena that Yerushalmi and how to understand what Rav is doing in the Gemara, I think both Pshatim are really quite fair. Then you could have a Dirabbanan Isser only when you're doing a Shinas Arai outside the Sukkah as opposed to inside the Sukkah. At which point, another question becomes solved. And with this, then we'll turn to some more of the Halacha Maisa and move on to the end of this the end of the Seth. Right, but I want to point out one more thing, that there's a weird point in this Gemara, right? Because, like, if you guys ask yourself, everything we've been learning together, right? How do you define what's Kev and what's Arai? How do you guys define it to me? Like, in a sense, what would be the pasuk or the drusher you would hang that all on? What would be the I don't know, your motto to explain how we decide what counts as Kev, what counts as Arai? No, I mean, I want a drusher. A drusher. Tosos quoted in the context of its tire. What would you say? You guys know. Teishu came to Duru, right? Okay, I don't mean to put you on the spot, right? So Teishu came to Duru, right? In the manner in which you live in your home, so you live outside the home. So question for you. Do you sleep a Shinas Arai inside your home or outside of your home?
Outside.
Presumably outside. At which point, it should be allowed outside your sukkah. Who cares that, like, maybe it will count as keva? But, like, I don't care. Let's say I sleep for 5 minutes. It should be all about the quantity, right? I sleep for 5 minutes outside my home sometimes. Again, ignore the numbers now. I'm just giving examples of small amounts, but I don't mean the numbers literally, okay? So again, I'm just repeating that so nobody gets confused. So I sleep for 5 minutes outside my home generally. I do it sometimes. I put my head down randomly in the street even. I'll sit on a park bench and I'll snooze for a little bit. Right? At a random place, I'll do that. At which point, then, it should be allowed outside my sukkah. Who cares that sometimes it will have within it the capacity to rejuvenate me? But this is not the amount. That's a problem. So what do you want from me? I do that outside my home. And if you think that, no, I don't do that outside my home, so shkayach. Then you don't need to get on to, like, anything that, like, maybe will rejuvenate me or not rejuvenate me. That's all irrelevant. Right? You would think that, like, that just should not be a relevant factor. So what is pshat with that? Why don't we just follow up with Teishu came to Duru? So perhaps there's another component. That once something is capable of rejuvenating you, then you would, and this would be the classic way to understand this, is that once it's capable of rejuvenating you, then it defines it as if it was as you had slept for a long time. Like that 5 minutes sleep is as if you slept for like 5 hours, and that, of course, you wouldn't do outside of your home. But that's really weird when you don't actually end up sleeping for that long. Meaning, I understand if I sleep for 5 minutes and it rejuvenates me, then it counts as a really hush of a sleep. It was as if I slept for 10 hours, at which point I would never sleep 10 hours outside of my home, so this 5 minutes was Kain 10 hours, and I wouldn't do that outside of my home either. But that should only actually happen if I actually get rejuvenated, right? It's very, very strange to say, since within 3 minutes, which I would always do outside of my home, it has the potential to rejuvenate me. And if it rejuvenated me, it was as if I slept for 10 hours. So therefore, the 3 minutes, which didn't rejuvenate me, counts as 10 hours. That sounds a little bit far-fetched. But maybe it's true. Okay, you'll have to figure it out. But perhaps it makes more sense if you say, yeah, you're right, but it's a gezeira that you might have from those 3 minutes, a rejuvenation, which would count as 10 minutes. At which point, only major abundant is it aser. But you understand how that solves the issue? Because really, the name of the game is Teishu came to Duru still. Only things that you do, which outside of your sukkah, outside of your home, you would never have done, are a problem. Such as a 10-hour sleep, which rejuvenates you. But if there's a 5-minute sleep, which rejuvenates you, that too counts as if it was a 10-hour sleep, and you would never have done that type of sleeping outside your home. Oh, let's say I have a 5-minute sleep, which doesn't rejuvenate me then. So I think for the other understanding, it's very difficult. But to this, now it makes perfect sense. The reason is because 5 minutes sleep, if it doesn't rejuvenate you, is not usur outside the sukkah. But midrabanan, we're afraid that it might rejuvenate you, as it might indeed, so we say it's usur. All right, that's my chiddush ad kan, at which point I think it solves a lot of issues. It explains the tashmi, it explains this question I have in the Gemara. A lot of people have it from this Gemara. I think it actually fits very nicely, and who knows, maybe that's what the Shulchan Aruch meant, although I'm not actually hanging on the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says very, very little. He's just quoting the language of the Braisa. I'm just saying, perhaps this would be a nafmina lalacha if it's the Braisa midrabanan, and that always has nafminas. Okay, wonderful. So now, simply put, guys, we look at this Gemara and we think, and we read the Shulchan Aruch, and we think that there's no allowance whatsoever, right, to sleep outside the sukkah, right? That's what seems pretty pashut. Dereis or Derabanan aside, right, the whole conversation we just had, what comes out, we read the Shulchan Aruch, all the poskim agree, right, it's the first Braisa in the Gemara, that Ein Yishenim Shenas Arai Chutz L'Sukkah. So Shenas Arai is not allowed to be done outside the sukkah. Question for you. Is there anything less than a Shenas Arai? Is there like an Arai Da Arai? At which point, maybe it's not so simple. Maybe you really could sleep sometimes outside the sukkah. To rephrase and perhaps make it clear, when we say that there's no Shena Arai, right, the Gemara then goes and tells us a shear for Shena Arai. Now, granted, you could have said that was only in the context of tefillin, right, in terms of the length of time. The Gemara says, shear hila mea amma, right, that so the amount of time it takes you to walk 100 amos, which don't think is a very long period of time. I think the Mishnah Berurah writes somewhere, they bring it here. The Mishnah Berurah says it. That it's It's about 54 seconds. Okay, that's how long it takes you to walk, whatever, 150, 200 feet. So, it's not really very long. About a minute. Right? 54 seconds is what Shayna's arise. Question for you, though. When the Gemara says that, okay, again, that was in context of tefillin, maybe, but that was, like, setting the shear of what counts as Shayna's arise. Is that an upper limit or a lower limit? Meaning to say, is it sane that anywhere up until this point is all called arise? Meaning, even a 5 second sleep is awry. And 27 seconds is awry. Up until 54 seconds is all still awry. 55 seconds, that's keva. At which point it will be an upper limit. It's hitting that whole range below it is all awry too. And this is the top of what counts as awry. That's what the Gemara is saying. Or is the Gemara saying something else? That this, and only this, as a lower limit and also the only amount, this is considered awry. Anything more than that is considered keva, in terms of tefillin. And anything less than that is not even arai. That's not called sleeping, which makes a lot of intuitive sense to us, right? That there's got to be something which doesn't count as sleeping. You might have thought at least, like, right? Like, did I really fall asleep if I blinked? No, obviously not. Okay, but let's say I'm just very, very tired. Okay, last night I went to sleep very, very, very late, so I am very, very, very tired right now. Okay, good. So let's say I were to, you know, space out for a second, close my eyes like this, and then reawaken. Was I asleep? Like, sort of. Does that count? Am I not allowed to do that outside of the sukkah? So, I personally would have thought Pashup Shot, and I think Pashup Shot and most Rishonim who are silent about it, is that yes, that's also Shayna Sarai, and thus Usher outside the sukkah. Because they don't bring this lahalacha in context of sukkah. Right? This halacha of Kedehi Lachmea Amma has nothing to do with sukkah, you would think. Because to sukkah, there's no such thing as a Shayna Sarai. So I don't need to define how long Shayna Sarai is, because by sukkah, we're worried that it has the quality of keva to it, and thus anything is usur. Right? There's no distinctions. Any amount of sleeping outside of sukkah is usur. And Shulchan Aruch, you'll note, right, doesn't distinguish. He just says all Shayna Sarai, although maybe he means something less than arai is mutter. He's not clear. But the vast majority of Rishonim don't distinguish at all, and thus, I thought Pashup Shot is that you're not allowed to sleep at all outside the sukkah. Okay, but get ready for a bombshell chiddush l'halacha. Rimi Gadim has a suffix about this, and the Mishnah Berurah Ring is a lahalacha, and it's based off of a few Rishonim mentioning the Kedei Mea Amma, the Kedei Hilach Mea Amma, lahalacha in context of Sukkah. That they do mention how long Shainas arrived. Why would they possibly talk about Shainas arrived by Sukkah? By Tefillah, I understand. There's a nafmina lahalacha, right? I'm not allowed to sleep keva, I am allowed to sleep arai. But by sukkah, I'm not even allowed to sleep arai outside the sukkah. So why discuss it there? Clearly, the Ritzkeis is one example, the Ravan, the Machzor Vitri, they all bring it in the context of sukkah. Why are they doing so? So these Rishonim, presumably, think that this was a lower limit, in the sense that this is the amount that's arai, but anything less than it is not arai. It's arai, arai, whatever. It's not even called Shena. At which point you're allowed to sleep outside the sukkah for under 54 seconds. Great heter, guys, right? And lahalacha, the Mishnah Berurah brings this. He fastens it. So, Ikar Din, we hold, seemingly la halacha, that you are allowed to sleep tiny naps, okay? Like, I'm not going to call them small naps, right? Because really, a 5 minute power nap is already over that. That's what I was saying. Don't hold me to the numbers before, but now hold me to the numbers. About 54 seconds, that, or 54 seconds is arai. Anything above that might even be keva. There's some range in there. Maybe it's 5 minutes. I don't know where it is. Maybe somewhere it becomes keva. We don't allow that either. But under 54 seconds, you can hop in those naps outside the sukkah. So that way you don't have to feel bad if, you know, your head drifts down for sure. We'll talk about head drifting down in a second more in general. We'll bring it to some more practical, hold off on my subconscious, right? But just simply, like, maybe possible maker didn't, that it's not considered Shena Bechla. Good to know. However, many, 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 many Achronim are worried about this because, like I said, most of the Rishonim don't distinguish at all and say, like, oh yeah, you're allowed to sleep, you know, a very, very short amount of time, just can't sleep a short or a long amount of time. So, many Gedolei Yisrael, and I think the minhag of those that are Yerei Shemayim, as much as possible, avoid sleeping at all outside the sukkah, even for 10 seconds. In fact, there's a story, a famous story about the Gra. The Gra was once in prison, not because he did anything wrong, as Ben Rish mentioned last week about the Maharam, right, but more because people were anti-Semites and liked to attack Jewish leaders. Just because they were Jewish leaders. So, the Gra was put in prison. And it happened to be over Sukkot time. And the Gra was going out of his mind because, Not only was he not able to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah, but he was afraid of being mevatel the mitzvah of sukkah, right? Two different things. Like, if you're just not able to fulfill it because you're not there, okay, so shkut, I'm not able to fulfill it. But he was afraid of doing things that would make him, you know, be doing something outside of the sukkah. But now you question to yourself, but still, like, he's no worse, you think, than Hofei Drachim or whatever. Like, here he is, he's not chayv in sukkah while he's trapped in a jail cell with no access to a sukkah. Like, you'd think that would be pasha. But the Gra tried with all his might to avoid sleeping in that jail. Pushed himself to, I mean, the Gra didn't sleep all that much often, generally. So maybe he was able to do it, I don't know. The Gemara says it's impossible to go 3 days without sleep. I mean, that means, I don't know, a little bit. Anyhow, the Gra tried with all his might not to sleep. What do you mean? It's pasha, you're allowed to sleep for a little bit. But you see that the Achronim were very, very machmir. Very machmir. There's a lot of examples. Very machmir not to sleep bechlal outside of the sukkah. Not only because it's a missed opportunity, right? You want to actually sleep in the sukkah. But also because you're not supposed to undermine your dira by having any sort of shena outside the sukkah. And if the braisa said shena sarai is like shena keva, basically. That's what it sounds like. That you're not allowed to sleep at all outside the sukkah. So that would be a problem. So la'alacha, even though Me'ikra din la'alacha we paskin, you're allowed to sleep outside. Highly advisable to be machmir to avoid even that. But if you do sleep for 10 seconds, don't feel too guilty. Okay, but that's important. That comes out from the way we actually paskin, even though you might not have seen that straight from the lines of the Shulchan Aruch. So that is an important point. Now let's turn towards. I'll mention this right now. I think that's more appropriate in this context before we get into the whole thing about why people don't sleep in the sukkah. Right, like Lemaisa, we see how Chomer it is. We'll discuss that in a moment. That's going to be the end, the Ramah, the end of the Sif. Right, but before we get there, let's just discuss other examples. Right, the Piskei Teshuva brings a lot of practical nafkamina about like how to live your life in these times. So, if somebody's falling asleep, then over there, Gemara, right? He's learning inside because he's learning Ian, right? He's tired. So even in his exciting Ian learning, he's starting to fall asleep. What's the halacha? Do you have to wake him up? Is he about to do an isser? So, many people are mitzvahing that you don't have to wake him up. Although it's really not so simple. But many are mitzvahing that you don't have to wake him up. And there's actually an interesting story about a shita of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who says that if somebody is sleeping in the sukkah and you need more room, let's say, I don't know, us, we were all, just a few were going to go and we were sleeping in the sukkah here in Gross and Dorotraga, and somebody else comes in and he needs a spot. But there's a lot of us, and we're all filling up the whole sukkah. But he wants to go to sleep. It's like he comes in late. He was out at a simple space situation. He comes in at 1 a.m. He's excited to go to finally lie down, and there's no room. He can't sleep outside the sukkah. He knows he's not allowed to do that. Certainly he can't go, Shana's Kevin can't go sleep outside the sukkah. There's no room in the sukkah. Like, is he putter because he really even started? Maybe he should go find a sukkah. What's he supposed to do here? So, Shlomo Zalman says he's allowed to pull one of the guys out of the sukkah who's asleep. And he can go sleep in the sukkah then. I was just like, what is he doing? What do you mean, Mavat? Make this guy sit in that? Doesn't make any sense at all. So there's a general hakira always about whether a sleeping person is chayiv in mitzvah. I mean, is it just that, like, he's chayiv, he's just not able to do them right now, he's like an onis? Or if he's just not chayiv, he's like, he's dead, or whatever. Like, he's like a person who's just a shota. That's a better word, but not dead. But he's like a shota, right? He has no das at this moment, and thus he's not chayiv in mitzvah. At which point, there's no iser for a sleeping person to be sleeping outside the sukkah once he's already asleep. Right, so now you can see how that would be relevant for our discussion over here. That if the guy's already asleep, there's no issue for him to, like, continue sleeping, let's say. Like, you don't have to wake him up so he doesn't sleep for longer. He's asleep. He's not, maybe, chayiv. Now, that's really not so posh. Pasha pshat is that sleeping people are chayiv in mitzvos. They're not the same thing as a shota. He has das. It's just not accessible at the moment. You know, it's just, he's just asleep. He's not chayiv. And really, that's a very strange sort of heter, but that's perhaps one of the things that this is hinted upon, but also maybe it's because he's mitzvah, you don't have to wake him up to go make him do the mitzvah of sukkah, because that would be annoying. It's really not so simple, but let's assume that it's, from at least from mitzvah, that you don't have to wake him up. You could also say it's teishu kein tiduro. People do this all the time. People, this I know is a classic heter, whenever people speak in shul, let's say a long Friday night, and, you know, there's not a Kabbalah Shabbos, so they want to have a speech in between, so people always fall asleep in shul on Friday nights. That is a menagav thing to be a denu. All of us have done it. All of us will probably do it again. Then people fall asleep during that speech on the Friday night. Right? So, is that allowed? Is that Rav being machshel the Rabbin when he gets up there to speak? Maybe better that they should go outside and they should schmooze for a little bit and then come back inside and not fall asleep. Because then they're sleeping outside the sukkah. So, the post can say, no, it's okay. Teishu came to do. This is what they do this all the time. Although, again, these are the type of things that are very tenuous and might be best to avoid at all possible. Again, we've seen it's pretty chamor to avoid sleeping as much as you can. Another example, one more point, I want to just bring one more important like type of case. Let's say you're on the road, right? You're on the road, you're in a car ride. So you're driving to somewhere or whatever, you're on a train, you're not even driving now, or whatever, somebody else is driving the car and you're in the back seat. And in that scenario, it's very easy to fall asleep, right? I mean, I do this all the time, right? You're bumping slowly and you're going on the road and you're tired and you're looking out the window and you fall asleep. So is that allowed on Sukkot? Do you have to, you know, gird your loins and make sure you do not fall asleep during this time? You eat a bag of potato chips, I don't know, whatever you do, listen to a shir, although that's not necessarily a guarantee you won't fall asleep, right? So you do something to I don't know, you have the person next to you poke you and you poke them, right? What are you supposed to make sure you don't fall asleep? So, I mean, again, you can use the same sort of heterim here about, oh, and here you even have holy drachim, but am I really a holy liderech when, like, I don't need to sleep this second, and, like, I'm going to a destination which has a sukkah, let's say. So I'm a holy liderech because, like, right now I decide I want to sleep over here. Like, maybe I just shouldn't sleep at this moment because I'm about to get there. So it could be, that I'm pater from teshu kinduduru, but there also, it seems best to avoid, although... Like, you know, the language of the Piskei Tshuva he's quoting from is Ein b'kach iser, but nonetheless, there are people who are, again, very, very makbid not to sleep outside the sukkah. We saw that story from the Gran. Many of the Achronim, halacha l'maaseh, avoid sleeping at all possible outside the sukkah. That's the pashup shana of the Shulchan Aruch, pashup shana of the Gemara, right? To avoid sleeping at all costs. However, you don't have to make yourself crazy. And in certain scenarios, there's more leniency than in others, right? There's not really leniency to be schmoozing and sitting around on your couch, maybe in general, right? But... that's what we were discussing in the first Chaburah. But let's say it is a short time, but there's certainly no room to, like, take a 10-minute power nap on your couch. That is Pashup Shad and Isser Gomor, maybe even Daraisa, right? That you're not allowed to do. But, bringing it down, Lalacha again, very simply avoid sleeping outside the sukkah, but if you do have certainly a very, very small amount, like less than 54 seconds, is probably okay. That's what it seems like Mikra did. And more than that, even if you're, like, you know, head bobbing or whatever, there's room to be mako, but again, you should avoid it if possible. Wonderful. Yeah, go.
Sorry, I'm going to start to, yeah. You start falsely, will learn to be in?
Yes. So in that case, so I was saying more about if you have to wake that person. That's what we were discussing. Whether somebody else has to wake him to prevent him from doing an Isser, that's where we got into the discussion about whether or not the person's chayv or not in the mitzvos. So, la'alacha, the post can assume you don't have to wake him. Even though it's not so posh of why you don't have to, in my opinion. But, okay, you don't have to wake him in terms of you doing it yourself. So you should certainly, A, not try to fall asleep while you're learning. It's a good thing to do, to avoid. So that's one. But if you see that you are, it's not the worst thing in the world, but... Maybe go to the sukkah then if you see that you're not actually able to successfully learn. And you should try very hard not to sleep at all. Okay? Good. Now let's turn to the end of the last 15 minutes we have. Let's turn to the end of this sif, right? Rabbi Ben really covered most of the things in between, I believe. So I want to focus now on the end, this long Rama. Umash nog in the hakel achsha, b'sheina she'en yesheina b'sukkah rak medakten mitzvos. Nowadays, where the minog is, it seems to be the very accepted minog I know, America, it is certainly still true nowadays that the very accepted minhag is that people are makel not to sleep in the sukkah, except those that are medakti b'mitzvos, right? So don't think this is a minhag, oh, I have to do the minhag that everybody does. No. Those that are medakti b'mitzvos don't, but there's a widespread minhag that he wants to defend that people don't sleep in the sukkah. So what's pshat? It seems like sleeping in the sukkah is even more chamor than achila. How can people do this? And like, we're not even talking about, like, you know, the 75-second sleep. We're talking about people go to sleep at night, 8 hours, whatever it is, right? They sleep at night. What's pshat? So the Rama quoting the Mordechai, right? That's who he's working off of. We saw it in the Darki Moshi brings, and he has a longer elaboration there, in fact. So, kedai to see. Right, so, Yesh Omer Misham Tzina. Sorry, those that say it's because of the cold, right? You're going to be mitzvah. I can't sleep in the sukkah because it's too cold. Yesh Sar Lishom B'Milkom Ozakarim, right? It's very uncomfortable to sleep in cold places. V'linira, but the Rama doesn't like that. He's going to have his own pshat. V'linira Misham De Mitzvah Sukkah Ishu Beso Ish V'Ishto Kederach Shehu Dar Kol Hashana. The mitzvah of sukkah is to sleep Teshu came to Duru, which is man and his wife. But in the place where he's not able to sleep with his wife, right, it's always very hard to tell. Pachas is here, it doesn't mean Tash Meshamita, although it might. Right? Sometimes it's the problem with using euphemism sometimes to say, like, oh, you sleep with somebody. So does that mean, like, you sleep with them, like, literally you're just sleeping next to them? Or does it mean tashmish, right? So it's not always so super clear when we... I mean, it's good to speak in a clean language, but sometimes it makes things less clear. So, presumably he means even just to sleep with your wife. But the point is that if you don't have your own sukkah, it's not snias for you, like, to, you know, sleep next to your wife and, like, some other guy sleeping next to his wife there. That's not the way Klal Yisrael conducts themselves, right? So that's not right. And therefore, you're putter because you're not able to fulfill that teishu kintaduru aspect of sleeping with your wife. Okay, unless I say tashmish, guys, assume sleeping means literal sleeping. Like I might, whatever, sleep next to somebody else. Okay? So, fine. So, v'tova hachmir. So, now, that's two reasons the Rambam gives. One of them sounds the one like he prefers. Right? There's the Mordechai, that it's because there's tsar, so you're putter from its tsar, because it's too cold. And the Rambam's om shad is not teishu kintaduru, because you're not there with your wife, since nowadays, practically, we don't really have our own private sukkahs. Okay. So, now, v'tova hachmir, v'leo sham im ishto. Ideally, you should be there with your wife. The Ma'aril used to do this, the Rambam brings. The Ma'aril would have his own little sukkah, and him and his wife would sleep there. So dar kol hashana, like the way he does all year, im efshar lo sukkah miyuchadus. But if possible, he should really have his own sukkah. So I'm not saying, certainly, if you do have your own sukkah, then you really might be chayv. So now let's talk about where this might be coming from. Okay, so there's this Gemara in Eirchin, which has this strange statement. It tells us that kohanim are chayv in sukkah. Shkoyach gadol, I believe, is the phrase, right? Duh. Why would you possibly think that kohanim are not? Kohanim have very much kedusha. Right? So why would you think that they're not chayiv in mitzvah of sukkah? So the Gemara asks this itself, and the Gemara says, you might know the havmina of X. Kamash malan, Y. Wonderful. Okay. What was X? What was Y? So, for starters, the Shita Mekubetes has a girsa in there, which understands the havmina as having nothing to do with sleeping with one's wife. It has nothing to do with that. It doesn't mention Ishva Ishto at all in that Shita Mekubetzes Girsa in the Gemara over there. At which point, for the Shita Mekubetzes, this Gemara is a non-starter for the Rambam. This Gemara has nothing to do with Ishva Ishto. Bechlal, it doesn't mention it. There's no value to it. Guys, I want to, if I was using a board, I would make a chart here, but it might be time for you to do. There's going to be two questions we're going to have to ask ourselves. I just want to preface this before going back to that Gemara and explaining the different ways to understand it. But two questions we'll have to be asking ourselves. There's going to be differences between Achronim and Lepaskin and Lepaskin when we end. Okay? So, two questions. Number one, I mean, again, if I were making a chart, I don't have a board here. That's the downside of being a base mentor. Baruch Hashem, we're the base mentor. So, no, I have my little one. But it's okay. It's going to be too annoying to do. I'll just tell it out to you. So, imagine it, that I have one column where I would have, is there an ideal to sleep with one's wife in the sukkah? Again, I'll just say one last time, but I won't keep repeating it. Sleeping meaning alongside. Okay? Is there an ideal to sleep alongside one's wife in the sukkah? That's like question A. Is there such an ideal? Meaning, if you can, should you? Or no, there's no such ideal. And the second question is, if I can't sleep with my wife in the sukkah, does that make me putter? You understand? Those are two separate questions. People conflate them sometimes. They're not at all the same thing. I want to clarify that, and we're going to discuss them now. Okay? So, A, is there an ideal to sleep with one's wife if I can? Meaning, I could, or I want to, but I could. Do I have to, because I'm supposed to? And separately, if I can't, am I actually putter from sleeping in the sukkah then? Because I'm away from my wife for whatever which reason. Okay? So those are two questions. So now, from the Gemara and Eirchin, according to the Shita Mekubetzes Girsa, how would you answer those two questions? It doesn't breathe a word about an ideal of sleeping with your wife. The Shita Mekubetzes Girsa has nothing mentioned about sleeping with your wife. That Gemara doesn't say anything about it. And there's a Gemara in sukkah. I think, I forgot now, Chav Chasma Beis, is it? Right, Chav Chasma Beis, I think. Right, yeah, that makes sense. Right, it's off that Mishnah. Yeah, Chav Chasma Beis, which says that women are putter from sukkah. Right? So, there's no reason she should be in the sukkah. The Gemara never tells you anywhere that that's included in Teishu Kain Taduru. Although, if you want to know, there's an interesting Piskei Rid. Throw you out an interesting Maramachim I found. Right, so there's an interesting Piskei Rid who says that by Abaya, by Shomer Ginos with Pardesos, what's Pshah, by the way, Shomer Ginos with Pardesos are putter from the sukkah? According to the Abaya, right? Abaya says Teishu Kain Taduru. Rabba says because maybe they'll come to steal. Right? Appear to Karligana. Right? So the Piskei Rid explains Abaya saying, what's the lack of Teishu Kain Taduru there? Because you're not there with your wife. But hold on a second. It's only with an Abaya. Which means Rabba, according to the Piskei Rid also, says that's not true. That's not considered anything. Okay, so Zaga is something interesting. But the Gemara explicitly then, according to the Shita Mekubetzes Girsa, never says anywhere that there's an ideal to have sleeping with your wife in the sukkah. So that's according to the Shita Mekubetzes Girsa, there's no such ideal. And then it follows through then also, am I putter if I can't sleep with my wife? Presumably not, unless you have some sort of like side tour, which we'll discuss in a moment. But like presumably, no, I'm not going to be putter. Why would I possibly be putter for that? Right? There's the Gemara says women are chayiv. The Gemara never tells me I'm supposed to sleep with my wife in the sukkah. So who says that? Good. So that would be according to the Shita Mekubetzes Girsa. However, there are musts on how God from this Gemara, and he mentions it in the Dark Yoshi, he quotes this Gemara, it's not it, that from this Gemara, it says that I'm putter from sleeping in the sukkah when I can't sleep with my wife. However, there are also things, as you see in the end, quoting from the story from the Ma'aril, although he doesn't quote it here, but in the Dark Yoshi it is, but he thinks there is an ideal to sleep with your wife in the sukkah. If you can, you should. I mean, if you have a private sukkah, you should. But if Lamaisa, you can't, it's more important to be able to sleep alongside your wife than to sleep in the sukkah, and you're putter. So now, how do you explain that? Off the Gemara in Erechim. What did the Gemara in Erechim say? Daf Gimel Amud Beis, I think it was. Right, when I looked, I learned it. I just forgot. I think it's a Gimel Beis. So the Gemara says the following. The wife is to have mean that Kohanim would be putter, since Kohanim, at the time of the Avoda, Kohanim are not able to, on the regal, sleep with their wives. Here, I mean, Tashmish Hamishna. Kohanim are not able to have Tashmish Hamishna with their wives, because that would make them a Valkari, at which point they couldn't do the Avoda the next day. You can't enter the Beis HaMikdash when you're a Valkari. To have Tefillah and then Harav Shemesh. Right? So that day they wouldn't be able, if they sleep at night with their wives, in the euphemistic sense, if they do Tashmish Hamishna with their wives, then they're a Valkari, and they're not allowed to go to the Beis HaMikdash, and they won't be able to do the Avoda. At which point they're not allowed to be with their wives then. But once they're restricted from being with their wives, so now I might think that they're Patra Legamri from the Sukkah. Right? Because they're not able to be with their wives. Good. So that's the Havmin. Very good.
It's like Cash 22.
Well, the Havmin is since they're not able to be with their wives because they're not because then they because that would make them go to sukkah. So now, not that they're mitzvah, that they're fundamentally not chayiv in the sukkah at this moment. That was the Havmin. That's the Havmin. I mean, the Gemara says a Havmin and a Kamash. So the Havmin of the Gemara is that I would think that they're fully putter from the whole mitzvah of sukkah because they're not allowed to be with their wives. At which point they can't do Teshuva Kintaduru. At which point the Torah was never talking to them. They're Patra. They can't do the Maisa Yeshiva. They can't do Teshuva Kintaduru. At which point, the Gemara then responds, no, Kamashmal Ner Chayev. When are they Chayev? So the Ramah thinks, on the nights that they are able to be with their wives. Let's say they're going to work, I don't know, two of the days of Beis HaMikdash. Not everybody needs to work on the Beis HaMikdash. It's like a work night, you know, like in America, right? So is Motzei Shabbos a work night? Nah. Is Monday night a work night? Yes. Because the next day you have to go up to work. So on a night that it's a work night, you have to go to work the next day. The Ramah says they are putter from sukkah. But on a night that they don't have to go to work the next day, they're not putter from sukkah. What's their rationale? Because if I could sleep with my wife, since I don't have to go to work tomorrow, right? If I could do Tashra Shemitah with my wife, because I don't have to go to work tomorrow, so then I am able to be with my wife, at which point I'm not mufka from the mitzvah of sukkah. But if I can't be with my wife, then I am mufka from the mitzvah of sukkah. So on work night, when I'm not allowed to be with my wife, then I'm patur. What do you see from this gemara? Then if I cannot be with my wife in the sukkah, that means, if I cannot live with my wife at this time, and here it means Tashra Shemitah, then that means that I'm not chayv in sukkah. So the conclusion of the gemara thinks that in those scenarios, I still am allowed to. And that's where the Ramah pulls out this heter from. The Gra argues. The Gra has a different shot on this gemara. So again, just to highlight, according to the Ramah, obviously there's an ideal to sleep with your wife in the sukkah, but if you can't, that actually makes you putter. So there is an ideal, but if I can't, then I'm going to literally be putter. What does the Gra say here? The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Gra, and the Gra says, Pshat and Rashi and Tosas, although it's not so simple, Rashi and Tosas mean this, it's not just not clear what Rashi and Tosas say. So the Rashi and Tosas there explain differently. I see I'm running out of time, unfortunately, so I want to make sure that we're done in the next 5 minutes, so I'm going to just tell you what the Gra's conclusion is. The way the Gra reads the Gemara is differently. The Gra basically just thinks that the Gemara's conclusion, same Havmina, that there is an ideal to sleep with your wife, because he does have that girsa. I might have thought that I'm supposed to sleep with, that I'm putter if I can't sleep with my wife. Kamash Malan is that I'm putter when I'm literally doing Bishas Havoda, when I'm literally doing the Avoda. I don't have to go back and, you know, since I can't be with my wife right now, like, well, Shkoyach, you're doing the Avoda, right? Like, so I'm putter. I'm mostly going to answer Putter and Mitzvah, right? But anytime when I'm not doing the Avoda, literal Shas Avoda, I'm literally doing the Avoda versus not, like at night, for example, I'm chayav to sleep in the sukkah. And the wife thing is not a p'tor. Okay, so according to the Gra, there's an ideal to sleep with your wife in the sukkah. However, it doesn't potter you if you can't. So, how do we defend the Minhag Olam? According to the Ramah, he brings from the Mordechai. One reason to defend the Minhag Olam why nobody sleeps in the sukkah is because they're mitzdar. Okay, so question for all of us is, are we truly mitzdar? The Ramah, first of all, doesn't really like that one. And the Aruch HaShulchan's got a very good raya against this. Right? That, well, I mean, No, I'll leave the Aruch HaShulchan actually alone for a second, okay? So, that it's potentially problematic to say that there's an issue with Mitztayr, right? The Magen Avraham brings, well, what do you mean? If it's fundamentally Mitztayr, then isn't it that, like, I'm not able to be Yotzei there at all? So we say, yeah, okay, so maybe it's not fundamentally bad, but it's bad enough that it can make you be mitzdar, even though it's still a valid sukkah. Okay, anyhow, so one reason to explain the minhag olam is because of the cold. It's too cold. But lemaisa, maybe I should bring in pillows, and that's in fact what everybody always says. You should make them warm. Okay, you know, I mean, chai maker din, but that's not really a very good p'tor. Sleep comfortably. So that's one. The Rama has another p'tor. He says because it's not kain tadiru when you're there without your wife, so you're allowed to sleep outside the sukkah. But that's also very weak. Certainly, there's other ways to read that Gemara, right? The Gra and the general Mahalach is that's wrong. That the Rama is wrong. The Aruch HaShulchan, that's what I was saying a minute ago, does not like that at all.
Did the girl also say it's ideal to sleep alongside your wife?
I'm not up to ideal yet. Right, I'm saying, so a reason to say why the Ramah's tour, to say that why you're not chayav to, is because, oh, I'm not with my wife, is not really accepted. Right, that just because I'm not able to sleep with my wife. Okay, so maybe the Ramah's working hard to defend the minhag. But again, the Ramah says, even in, there, nobody's embracing the idea of sleeping outside the sukkah, right? Nobody's saying, oh, it's a good thing to do. They're just saying, like, there's ways to get around it if that seems to be the minhag, we have to defend it. But the Yorei HaShemayim will go and make sure that they sleep in the sukkah. Now, there's other reasons given. I realize I have 2 minutes left, so I'm just going to very quickly snap out some reasons. Some think that maybe it's because it's dangerous, at which point, like, oh, it's tired. Okay, you have to know if that's really true. The Taz says, because you're also going to miss a Paterman and Mitzvah, you need to sleep with your wife, but not because, like, the reasoning of, like, Teishu Kinjaduru, like, of the Ramah, but because I have to make her happy, and maybe I'll be Mevatel Mitzvah's Ona, or maybe there's a Mitzvah Stam to make your wife happy in general. That's where Shana Rishona comes in. I'll mention Halakha L'maisa, that's a whole big tumult whether in Shana Rishona you're supposed to sleep in the Sukkah or not. So, Reben Arsh, and, I mean, he's coming after many, many poskim, but he said Halakha L'maisa is that you should sleep in the Sukkah in Shana Rishona. There are those who say you don't have to, but he says L'maisa you should. And make your wife happy in other ways, and be there for her, and fulfill the mitzvah of Simach HaShto, Shana Tima, for during that time. But you should sleep in the sukkah. Okay, everybody has to ask their own rav. That's what I heard, and that's what I did. Okay, so other potential reasons to explain the minhag olam is that people are mitztayer not from the cold, but when they're away from their wife. You're mitztayer from when you're away from your wife, and if that's true, so then that might be able to explain our minhag olam. That, I mean, it just depends, though, if it's really true that you're going to be mitztayer when you're away from your wife. Now, every relationship is different, right? But if you're actually mitztayer when you're away from your wife to be apart from her, so then you're a pater. Now, one example of where that comes up is if it is shas ona, or if the wife goes to the mikvah or something, so then they're supposed to be together. So at that time, so like it is, it's not appropriate, it's not good middos for them just to be together and for him to leave, or that he's not supposed to be with his wife. So at that time, he's supposed to sleep in the house. But generally, he should probably sleep in the sukkah. But still, how do we fulfill? How do we explain? So you know, I realize I'm running out of it. I'm running out of time, but I want to make sure that we end right now. So lahalacha, it's clear that there are reasons to say why you're pater from the sukkah. However, all of them are potentially tenuous. So if you can sleep with your wife from the sukkah, I don't know if that's a good enough reason to say that you're pater from the sukkah. I would certainly be machmir myself, and indeed that's what the tzak of all the real poskim say, for the most part, is that really there's no tour to, like, I mean, you, okay, there's room to be mora heter for others, but for yourself, you should definitely not say that I'm putter because I'm not able to sleep with my wife. If you're actually mitzdayer because it's freezing cold, okay, fine, so then maybe you're putter. But let's say a shiva bachar in Israel for the year. It's warm weather, you have a sukkah, you don't have a wife, right? There's no tzar from being away from my wife, there's no teshuva king to drew. There's really no good heter to explain why a shiva bachar in Israel should not sleep in the sukkah. Unless he's an istinus, or a vaj mentions that, you know, an istinus, and it's like, it's really, really very, very cold, and like you, it bothers you a lot, but like, none of us are istinus to that degree, that you can sleep on a mattress inside of the sukkah. You've slept in camps before. It's not that different. So la halacha, people in our type of situation right now should absolutely, absolutely, absolutely sleep in the sukkah. In terms of when you get married, that's a separate question, but the maisa, to defend the minhag of America and everywhere, you can pull together some heterim, but I'm out of time. Maybe next time I'll finish up like one or two little points about this, but Emir Tashem, next time we'll move on to Sif Gimel.